I want you to take your Bibles tonight, if you will. I'll try not to be before you too long, but I have a little thought on my heart that I hope, pray, be a blessing to you tonight. Luke chapter 13, please. Luke chapter number 13. As the Lord put this on my heart, it reminded me of a fella that for years made a statement that came out of this text, and that fellow was Brother Brian Odell. He would always say something like this, Brother Steve. He said, I'm going to get out of the way and let the pastor come and dig around this a while. You remember him saying that? How many remembers him saying that? Well, that came back to my heart and my mind as I looked at this text. I believe this is where that thought comes from. Luke chapter number 13 and verse number 6. He spake also this parable, and that's, of course, the he is Jesus. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and he sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. If correctly read, that's verse 6 through verse number 9. We'll look at that a few minutes tonight. I believe the Lord has something he would say to our hearts out of this text. Pray with me, please. Father, thank you tonight for your people. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, God, for the peace that we have in our hearts. Lord, every way I turn, the storm is raging. Seems like about every text, about every call, somebody else in trouble. I'm glad, our Father, that you know what we have need of even before we ask. I ask you, God, to bless your dear people. I pray, our Father, that you'll help us as we look at this text tonight, Lord, just to take a little inventory, realize, our Father, that there is coming a day when that one that owns the vineyard, Lord, will come looking for fruit. And I pray, dear Father, that you would help us. Help us, Lord. Help us to realize we cannot produce fruit, but we can walk with you. We can talk with you. We can fellowship with you. We can let you have your way in our lives and bear fruit to the glory of God. Help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I titled the lesson tonight, A Visit to the Vineyard. I want to visit the vineyard tonight and look at a couple of things that I think will help us. I'm aware that we're right up near the year's end. And lots of times, whether it's a calendar year or a fiscal year, businesses, and they'll take inventory. I think God's people every once in a while ought to just stop and take inventory. Don't you? I was thinking about some pictures that Bob sent to me of the back room at the Walmart. Did he send those to you, Brother Steve? He went down to North Carolina to take a store, and he sent me pictures of the stock room. The shelves were piled full all the way to the top. The aisles in the stock room were just piled full, pallet after pallet. And then he sent me pictures of the shelves. And there was shelf after shelf that was just wiped out. Nothing on the shelf. So they weren't getting the stock to the shelf. Well, if you don't get the stock to the shelf, then you can't sell it. And it just keeps piling up. He said, now, Pastor, I don't understand why you would even mention something like that. Well, one of the prophets said, is the seed yet in the barn? I wonder how much that God has invested in you and I that's still piled up in the church and belongs out in the field. Does that make any sense? Fruit. We're supposed to bear fruit. God's looking for fruit in our lives. It being the end of the year, I believe that's the reason the Lord maybe led me to this text, but I want to visit the vineyard tonight. I've said for years that this came to my mind as Brother Steve was taking prayer requests. Maybe doesn't have a lot to do with the lesson, but maybe it does. I've said for years that I do not believe, I'm emphatic about this, that God's people, the church, will go through the Great Tribulation. I do not believe that. Brother Grizzle, I believe it's entirely possible that we'll go through a time of persecution, a time of trouble, not the time of Jacob's trouble, not the Great Tribulation. And I got to sitting there a while ago thinking about something. You can think I'm crazy if you want to. There's an election going on in Georgia. Depending on how that election goes, it could speed things up. Beloved, I believe they're coming after the preacher that takes a stand against sodomy. I believe they're coming against the church. Amen. I believe we'll be threatened with the tax status and all kinds of things. Amen. That's possible if this movement in our land has its way. And I believe that God wants us to just keep bearing fruit. I don't believe He wants us to bear fruit just when things are going well. As a matter of fact, when the persecution came in Jerusalem, that's when they scattered, and it seemed like there was more fruit being born in those days in a time of persecution. I'll say this, not in a derogatory way, but I believe it's the truth. I believe God's people are spoiled in these days. Amen. You have a little picture of what's going on, amen, just with what we face in this year. I'm trying to be kind tonight, but we need to be careful that we keep our eyes on Jesus. This pastor needs to be careful that he's reminded and remembers something's going to take me out of this world. Say amen. Amen. And fear God. And walk with God. Amen. And not fear man. I believe with all my heart that the Lord wants to speak to our heart. I'll give you a couple of things here quickly. I believe when we visit the vineyard, we're going to see some pictures. First thing I want you to see is a picture of the Lord's possession. The Bible said He spake, a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. I just want to remind us tonight, according to the book of Acts, the Word of God said, let me look at it here. I can't quote it verbatim, but it talks about the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. Look at Acts chapter 20 and verse number 28 for just a moment. I think we need to be reminded sometimes that we don't belong to ourselves. We've been planted in a vineyard, but that vineyard belongs to our Heavenly Father. The Word of God said in Acts chapter 20 and verse number 28. One more page here. It said, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." Aren't you glad to be part of what Christ purchased at Calvary? We're in the church. We're planted in that vineyard of our Lord. I believe when you get right down to it, this parable applies more so to Israel. The reason I say that, we can learn from it. But even when he uses the 3 years here, I've been coming 3 years. Our Lord's ministry was 3.5 years on the earth. And he uses the 3 years. He says, "I've been looking for fruit." The Bible said in John chapter 1, he came unto his own. His own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I believe that Israel, like the church, is the apple of God's eye, and it's his possession. And he was looking for fruit. The Word of God said in 1 Corinthians, turn there with me just a moment. Just get this point, and we'll move right on to the next thing. We see a picture of the Lord's possession. It belongs to him. In chapter 6, I think it's 1 Corinthians. I may have gotten that wrong. 1 Corinthians, it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price." That takes you right back to what Paul was saying in the book of Acts, "Feed the flock of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." The price, beloved, was the life and the life's blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it took. He said, "Which you have of God, you're not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." I believe it's important. So many today will say, "Well, it don't matter. The outside don't matter." Well, it's more than about the outside. God's looking at the heart. But if we could ever understand, man's looking at the outside. Man hears it if you utter a curse word. Man sees it if you harbor bitterness and refuse to forgive a brother or sister. Amen. And it hurts the cause of Christ. And so he didn't say just glorify God in your spirit, but he said glorify God in your body and in your spirit. And in this parable here, we see that it is the Lord's possession. We see a picture of the Lord's possession. Secondly, I see a picture of the Lord's prerogative. In other words, in 1987, Brother Steve, I realized he had paid the price for me, for my sin. I came forward. I trusted him to be my Savior. Oh, how clean I felt for the first time in my life. How happy I was to go on the road going home only a couple of miles, singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, they want to change the words today. Say such a one as I. Oh, gag-a-maggot, amen. Leave the song alone. We were wretched and vile in our sin when he found us and he saved us. What do you mean it's the Lord's prerogative? Brother Steve, he doesn't need my permission to come looking for fruit in my life. He bought me. He paid the price in full. And he has every right to come, Brother Ralph, and looking for fruit in your life and in my life, in the life of every born-again believer. He has a right to walk into his vineyard and look for fruit and expect fruit. You think about that. Look in John chapter 15 for just a moment. John chapter 15. Jesus said, I'm the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. I believe with all of my heart there are a lot of genuine born-again people in the world today that are miserable because somebody has taught them that it is their responsibility to produce fruit. No, you just walk with him. Abide in him. And bear fruit. There is a difference, amen? Bear fruit to the glory of God. In the text you see there's no fruit. There's fruit. There's more fruit. There's much fruit. Honestly, when I look at Calvary, why would I want anything less than much fruit? Why would you want anything less, Brother Kenny, than much fruit for the glory of our Heavenly Father? I see a picture of our Lord's prerogative. In the text, I don't know, I didn't really find out in my study, but I kind of think that, well, that way I'm reading it here, that the dresser in the vineyard, he is the one that intercedes for the fig tree, Brother Steve. He's the one that says, no, let's not cut it down right now. Let's dig around it for a year. And I know that you and I know that according to the book of Hebrews, he ever liveth, talking about Jesus, our great high priest, to make intercession for us. Amen. I wonder how many times, Brother Grizzle, the accuser has went before the Father and said, cut it down. I wonder how many times our Lord Jesus has said, just let me have a little more time. I see here a picture of the Lord's patience. I don't know about you, but you're looking at a pastor that's glad, very glad, that we serve a patient Savior. One that's patient with us. I see a picture of the Lord's patience. I have to remind myself every once in a while, because sometimes I lose patience. Most of the time with myself, but sometimes with others. I lose patience, amen? I had an illustration a while back, and it was about a godly man. He was overseas in the mission field, and they found him pacing back and forth. And they said he was normally just totally under control and totally at peace, and they found him pacing back and forth. And they said, dear brother, and called his name, said, what's wrong? He said, I'll tell you what's wrong. I'm in a hurry. And God's not. Well, amen. That's where we're at a lot of times. We're in a hurry. But God's not. We see a picture of the Lord's patience. I see another picture here in the vineyard tonight. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and he sought fruit thereon, and he found none. And he said unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? Let this speak to your heart tonight. All this fig tree was doing in the vineyard was taking up space. That's all it was doing. I mean, if you have a fig tree, you're supposed to have figs. Let me just say this. If God has a Christian, a child of God, he's supposed to have fruit. I believe the fruit of the Christian is another Christian. I believe the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. There's supposed to be fruit. Long-suffering and gentleness and meekness and goodness and kindness and faith. Supposed to be fruit. The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. There's supposed to be fruit in the life of the Christian. A picture of the Lord's patience. Here's a fig tree that's just taken up room. I thought about Miss Eve as I read this today. You remember 2 years ago, what way I have to trim trees is give my wife a tranquilizer shot. Because if she's looking out the window, standing on the porch, it ain't pretty. Couple years ago, Brother Gary's laughing. Couple years ago, how many knows, and I'm not making any fun if there's anybody's hair lip, how many knows what it means? They say I hair lipped that pear tree. How many knows what I mean? Brother Mike, I wouldn't care if it had a died. Amen. I'm tired of fooling with it. But I tell you what, last year, I don't know. I would say conservatively, I picked up 45-gallon buckets of pears. Amen. Now, I've got to do some pruning on it again soon. I really don't know even know how to prune. I just cut it back. Maples, I got to cut them back. If anybody's feeling real monkish and wants to come and help me, that'd be a blessing. Amen. A picture of the Lord's patience. He prunes us. He's wanting fruit in our lives. Then it's a picture of our Lord's plowing. If you'll notice in verse number 8, he said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also till I dig about it and dung it. I'm noticing, Brother Wayne, in our neck of the woods that a lot of people's already plowed their garden. Is it that way over where y'all live? A few. And when I say plow, I'm not talking about till. They just turn it over and leave it till spring, and then they disc it and till it and let it freeze and thaw. And makes the ground a lot easier to work, which makes it more productive. But I want you to know this. Generally speaking, it's not pleasant when God drops the plow in our life. But sometimes there are things that need to be turned over. Things that are down under that need to be turned up. Be revealed. I want to say this. I'm going to get into the last thing in the message in just a moment. I believe it's a lot better to have it revealed now and deal with it. Because it's all going to be revealed sooner or later. Sooner or later. We'll see that in the Word of God in just a moment. Dig about it. I always remember that about Brother Brian. He'd say, I'm going to get out of the way and let the Pastor, come and dig around us. I just want to say this, and I'm not disputing what Brother Brian said. The pastor learned something a long time ago. My job's to preach the word. The Holy Spirit's job is to take the shovel and go out yonder and dig around. I used a little different phrase for years. I've asked the Lord to finger around people's hearts. Dig around them, so to speak. The Bible talked about, I believe it was in the book of Habakkuk, I believe it was, I may be wrong. It said, break up your fallow ground. If we're not careful, we can get crusty, can't we? I'm talking about down on the inside, on our heart. We can get hurt in life. If we're not careful, our heart will become hard. I don't know if I ever told the church this or not, but my wife looked at me one time, and y'all can't even imagine her making a statement like I'm going to tell you. She said, honey, I'm never going to get close to anybody again. That's what she said, Brother Grizzle. She was hurt deeply. And I looked at her, Brother Ralph, and I said, yeah, you will, baby. My wife's got some precious friends in this church. I said, yeah, you will, baby. I said, give God some time. It'll be all right. Amen. Jesus knew it was coming. He said, offenses will come. He said, but woe unto him by whom the offense cometh. Better to have a millstone hung around his neck and cast into the bottom of the sea than to offend one of these, my little children. We need to take those verses to heart, don't we? Brother Gary over there, Proverbs, I was talking a while ago about getting in trouble for preaching against sodomy or preaching against shacking up or preaching against drinking or preaching against any sin. And when you say abomination, that's what the average Baptist thinks about right off the bat, is sodomy. And it is an abomination. Listen to what the Word of God said. These six things that the Lord God hate, yea, seven, are an abomination unto him. You know what the first one was? A proud look. You and I haven't accomplished anything apart from him. Well, I just read the text. Jesus said, you cannot, without me, you can do nothing. And then the last one in that list was he that soweth discord among the brethren. You say, preacher, ain't you afraid what they'd do to you at Bible Way if you went to sowing discord among the brethren? No! I'm afraid of what he would do to me. Amen. That's what I'm afraid of. Amen. So he digs around. He plows in our life. I like it, don't you? I love the little song the children sing, he's still working on me. Got a shed, Brother Grizzle, out behind the house, and maybe a little barn-like thing, whatever you want to call it. It's not organized right now. About every spring, I have to throw some stuff away and reorganize a little bit, but I like to have the shovel hanging where the shovel goes and the rake hanging where the rake goes and the hoe hanging where the hoe goes and the wheelbarrow where the wheelbarrow goes and the tar pumped up on it. If you own a home, it takes different tools to keep things going. God owns you and he owns me. And he's got all kinds of tools. I like a weed eater. Years ago, I fell in love with a sprayer. Instead of weed eating the fence rows, I just spray them. But I used to have a habit, Brother Mike, of getting too close to stuff that wasn't supposed to be weed-eated. We're still married. You're talking about the grace of God. But can I tell you this? When God gets His tools out to work in our life, He knows just how close, just how deep, just how to help us that we might bear fruit to His glory. The last thing I want to give you tonight is it's a picture of our Lord's promise. Look with me, if you will, the dresser now. He said, let's let it alone. Let's dig around it. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answered and said unto him, he said, Lord, let it alone this year also. Let's give it one more year till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, what's that next word? Well, in other words, God has promised that our labor, let me see if I can get the verse started. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. I believe that's 1 Corinthians 15:58. The enemy will tell you there's no use. But I'm going to tell you something right now. God said our labor is not in vain. God has promised a reward for those that will bear fruit to His honor and to His glory. But God has also promised something else. He said, if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. I want to make a statement as I go into this. I do not believe any genuine born-again believer will ever go to hell. But I do believe this. I believe if a believer will not cooperate with the Lord's digging around and the Lord's dunging, His fertilizing, just says, God, I know I'm saved. That's all I'm interested in, some fire insurance. I believe 1 John chapter 5 teaches us that there is a sin unto death. I want to show you something, if I may, for just a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This judgment that I'm going to be reading to you about is not concerning unbelievers. It's concerning believers. Born again, children of the living God. The Bible said, just to read it in its context so that you understand, look at verse 8. We're confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. The only ones that are going to be present with the Lord when they're absent from this body are God's children. That don't apply to the devil's children. That's the church. That's the born-again ones. Watch the next verse. Wherefore we labor. Why do we work? Why do we want to bear fruit? That whether we be present or absent, in other words, whether we're with Him, or whether we're still here, that we may be accepted of Him. If there was as many of God's people in this world concerned about being accepted of Him as they are being accepted of everybody else, we'd be a whole lot better off. We'd have revival. The Bible said here, we labor, whether we be present or absent, may be accepted of Him. Now look at verse 10. For we must all, every one of God's children must appear before the judgment seat of Christ that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. Here's what I wanted you to see, beloved. Listen to me carefully. The Lord has made a promise not just to those that bear fruit, but also to those who don't bear fruit. There's a day coming when we're going to have to stand before Him. He promised it. Watch this now. It didn't say, knowing therefore the mercy of the Lord. This is not talking about the great white throne judgment. It's not talking about lost people. It's talking about a day, beloved. Listen, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men what we made manifest unto God, and I trust and made manifest in your conscience. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we beside ourselves, it's to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. I just picked up on something. I'd never caught this in years. But listen, here, look, if you just keep reading this, you're going to see the fruit. What did the Bible say down here? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things are become new. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, listen, I'm not real good at English. You all already know that. But there is a difference in saying we and saying I. There is a difference in saying us and saying I or me. Paul is talking to a church, and he has said, God hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. He said, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in God's, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. I believe with all of my heart, as we look at the vineyard, I believe that every one of us, pastor included, will have to give an account of every time God nudged our heart to witness. Every opportunity. How many of y'all know what I mean when I say that we blew it? God gave us a perfect opportunity, an open door. I think as we come to the end of the year and we head into a new year, we ought to incorporate into our prayer life, oh God, help me to bear fruit. Help me to bear fruit. Help me to walk so close to you. There was a man just come to my mind, Brother Grizzle. I think you knew him, Brother Rightly Sailing. It was as if heaven's honey was dripping off of him. You want to know why? He was full of this book. And he was full of the God of this book. Amen? Kind. Another man, Miss Eve, Lonnie Wooten. Did you know him too, Brother Grizzle? A sweet, sweet man of God. Stood and preached the truth for years and years and years. I thank God that we have soldiers that's gone on before us, but there's still some soldiers in the world. God wants us, as we come to the end of the year, look back. What are you looking for? Where's the fruit? Where's the fruit? Years ago, I had the privilege to watch a little movie about a black boy. The name of the movie was Radio. Radio went in, sat down in the restaurant, and he had ordered some pie. Well, when he ordered the pie, they asked him if he wanted blueberry or he wanted apple. His response was both. That waitress wasn't fast enough, so not too long, he says, where my pie? there's a day coming. God's going to say, where's my fruit? Where's my fruit? Is this it to the vineyard? How many's glad you come tonight? Don't ever forget, we're going to stand before Him. I'm glad my sin's covered. But my service is going to be examined. And I'm going to be rewarded. Or lose reward. According to the fruit that He finds in my life. Let's stand together and we'll be dismissed in prayer. Thank you for being here tonight.